Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 377. Those are the three of God's numbers. There's only two of them, though. Two sevens and one three. And this program is, so we've got a lot of powerful words to help you live. And I mean live. Not just in this carnal world, temporal world, but forever in the kingdom of heaven. And we have some music, we got testimonies, and as I said, a strong message from the Lord, some scriptures. And right now, though, let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint His service. Father, we love You, and we worship You. We worship You, Father God, because we know that You hear us and You answer us. There's so many, from time to time, I just realize that all the words in Your, from You are just mind-blowing because You are so articulate when You talk. And it just seems like there's some man talking. And when we have taken on the Word of God, which is Spirit and life, we learn to talk as You talk. You talk very plain, and You don't ever eliminate the wrath scriptures in Your Word, and You make them very much as important as the words You tell us about to love. The love is that You also tell us about Your wrath, what will happen, the consequences that will happen to us if we are rebellious, stiff-necked. We refuse to listen to Your articulate, very easy to understand words. A lot of people pretend that they don't know what You say, and so they live their life the way that they want to live. But in this message, I pray that You'll pour out Your Spirit and cause the people throughout on Radio Land and all the areas that we are, which is all over the world, and that You'll warn the church, the people in the church, because You state that there's going to be a great falling away, and we're going to talk about that from the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians today, so that people can be warned that You are a God that has foreseen all the things that are happening to yesterday, today, and forever, and that they need to fear what You say, because if we're out of the Spirit, then we're out of Your body, and if we're out of Your body, then we're not going to be in the paradise that You speak about, the kingdom of God, but we'll be in hell and the lake of fire. There's only two places to go. You stated when that wicked man, the false prophet, the man of perdition would be revealed, and that there'd be a great falling away from You, that this would be the time of the end. You said that through the Apostle Paul, and I pray, Lord, that You'll make that exceedingly clear in the message today, and so that the people in the world will begin fearing You, because You say that no one will serve You if they don't fear You, and that the church will repent and get back to You. Some of them have gone too far, but if they did it ignorantly, Lord, I pray that they will not be too far away, that they will become being afraid of You again and repent, that their souls will be strengthened, and eventually they will be back in the body. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now we have Fake Springman. Yeah, I know, I see a lot of people now that I've been playing his records. I've had his record. He's been with the Lord now for a lot of years, even before I was saved. And he's on one of the record labels that he's on. It's on Word Records, so you could get this album by writing them, I believe. And this is called Peg Springman singing Jesus Walked This Lonesome Valley. valley.
Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it.
Praise the Lord. I really love the way that guy sings. And we recently saw a woman on television on one of the bigger evangelistic programs on television singing Right On King Jesus, and she sang it very much with about the same arrangement. They changed it around a little bit, but I don't know of anybody that has ever played that record but me. And she must have heard it on the program, or somebody heard it on the program and told her about it. Deuteronomy 29, chapter 29, verses 27 through 28. In love, God wants you to know the kind of personality that He is. And so therefore, He doesn't just tell you sugary things. He tells you, look, I've drowned the whole world, and not in this particular voice, but He gets angry, and He gets loaded full of big wrath. And Deuteronomy 29:27-28 states, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger. He took His own people, the chosen people of God, the people of God that have been the reason they're people of God, because Abraham and Sarah were above the age to be able to bear children. And so they came from a dead man's loins, same thing as the dead, and then also a dead woman's womb. And so all of the Jews have been raised. They're supernatural because they were raised from the dead, from dead people. And so that's why they're not the ones that are trying to take over the world. The Vatican has gone through a large extent to put people on this horrible, lying trip. How would they be able to take, or even anyone could remotely believe that they were taking over the world, when the Vatican is the one that in Germany slaughtered 6 million of them, and a lot of black people? The Vatican does not like Jews, and because they're the ones that brought forth the Bible, which is totally contrary to the Vatican and its teachings. And so the Lord is full of wrath, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. Now, people say that these curses that are happening, these tornadoes, the tsunamis and the earthquakes and all the different things that are happening, the curses, all the diseases and everything, are coming as natural disasters. But the Lord wants you to know that He's the one that rooted the people out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. That's in 2 Kings. Now, 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 13, he tells us, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord." Now, the Lord tells you through his prophets that he has great wrath. Not just wrath, but great. I mean, that means big wrath. Great, well, you know, like an elephant is great. God's wrath is greater, amen, than many elephants.
Amen.
So great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, God's chosen people, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us, the Jews. Now, how could the Jews, I'm going to repeat it again, be the ones that the Betsy Vatican says they're trying to take over the world? How could there be so many of them killed, and how come they wouldn't even allow them to come into the Holy Land? Even the English tried to stop them. England tried to stop them from going into the Holy Land. And they say that it's Palestine, but God calls that land Israel. It was given to the Jews. And I was on the Sol Olympia, which is a ship that was taking me from Venice, Italy, to Haifa, Israel. One of the United Nations men, he was an old man, he says, "Well, we're just doing everything in our power to bring about peace in the Middle East." I told him, "You're wasting your time, because the Bible says that God is going to make his enemies draw nigh, very near to Israel, and they're going to actually, he's going to put a hook in their jaw, because they're evil, and he knows they're evil, and they're never going to repent anyway, so he's going to waste them. He's going to bring them over there, and when they try to destroy Israel, God is going to destroy them. And it's going to be the biggest slaughter that God even knows how to talk to birds." Amazingly, the Lord is so articulate that people forget that he that made the tongue is able to talk. I mean, he talks way better than you ever or I ever thought of speaking. Amen?
Amen.
So 2 Kings 23:26-27 states, "Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath." He just kept going. Once he gets ticked off, you cannot escape. You could run in the house, but that won't do any good, because the Lord comes in the house too. You could hide under the bed, but when you do, he'll be there. No matter where you go, you can go to the top of a mountain, the highest mountain in the world, and he's there. You can try to run to the next city, and he's there. As a matter of fact, he sends the death angel after you. And this is the great wrath of the Lord. And you can swim down to the bottom of the sea, and the Bible says, God's wrath says, "I'll send just one of my messengers down there, serpent, and he'll bite you." Then what will you do? You say that you are gods, you people out there, some of you people. He says, "Well, when they're killing you, will you tell them, 'Hey, you can't kill me, I'm God'?" How stupid. Amen?
Amen.
Very stupid. So this is, it says, the fierceness of God, this great wrath. And God is, in his mercy, tells you these things so that you'll fear him, because he says, again, he told Moses that people will not serve him unless they fear him. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, the whole duty of man, he says, let us come to the conclusion of the whole matter, what you're here for. He says, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. There's nothing else that you're supposed to do but fear God and keep His commandments. Well, what about my mama and my dada? If they're not keeping the commandments of the Lord, you're not commanded to follow their instructions, all right?
Amen.
You're supposed to, God is your father, amen?
Amen.
And the Word of God is your mother,
amen.
All right? Okay, so the fierceness of His great wrath, wherewith His anger was kindled against Judah because of all the provocation that Manasseh, that's one of the tribes of Israel, half-tribes of Israel, had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, now listen how clear the Lord talks, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel. So he says, I have removed Judah and Israel. And well, this is God talking. This isn't just some man. And I will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, this is me talking, God saying, that I said, my name shall be there. But he's not going to, this make any difference if he chose you. There's a lot of people that have been chosen by the Lord, even though the Bible says few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. God chose Saul, King Saul, to be king. But then he destroyed him. Amen?
Amen.
And so just because God showed you a vision or showed you something, that's all the more mercy God has had on you, and it's all the more reason why you should listen very closely to what he said. Second Chronicles now. 34:21 states, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found, for great, great is the wrath of the Lord. Because he found that in the Bible. Okay? That is poured out, the wrath of God that is poured out upon us because of our fathers, that because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. Well, we don't know what the word of the Lord says. Well, that's very clear, isn't it?
Amen.
Isn't that clear? That God is not just a God of love.
Amen.
He talks more of his wrath to do after all that is written in this book. Jeremiah 21:5. And I myself, this is the Lord talking. Now listen, every word. And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm. Gosh, that's easy to understand, isn't it?
Amen.
He's going to do that for you, against you people in the world that just keep saying we're going to do away with the word of God. We don't allow anybody to pray. We're taking the name God off a currency. We're going to do all these things. We're going to accuse Christ of false accusations. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath, big time wrath. Because you don't listen to what I say. All right, now Jeremiah 32:37 says, behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And he's going to pour out his wrath on all the nations of the world because they're going to come against Israel. Everybody has believed the Antichrist, Satan's machine. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians that the Lord will not come back until that wicked, the man of sin, the man of perdition will be revealed. This is the corporate body of Antichrist. If you read the Bible, you'd know that. This is the corporate body of Antichrist because everybody in the world that's against the Christ or against the Word of God is against Christ, and if you're against him, then you're anti-Christ. If you're anti-Christ, what you've done is you have committed the unpardonable sin, because it's you've blasphemed the Lord. You stated that the word of Satan, or the Antichrist, which the Antichrist is given its power by Satan, which is the Church of Rome, the City of the Seven Hills, the government that it controls, and the media. So if you believe what you're hearing on television, other than a few things that they say, they sprinkle in, very little truth is at all on the air. And Satan twists the truth so much that it's, and this machine of Satan, the Antichrist, twists the truth so much that it's undetectable. You know, you just, he has deceived the whole world. So that wicked man of perdition, the man of sin, is now revealed. And so this is, and there's a great falling away. Now, the great falling away is the unscriptural churches. And most of them are very unscriptural and very deceived. They deceive very, very, very well. So that we see that this falling away is actually a revival in disguise. Because all the people are believing the false prophets, these false ministers. They preach, some of them preach some truth. In other words, they look like the real thing, but they're counterfeits. Now, a good counterfeit bill looks like the real thing. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a counterfeit. If it didn't look like the real thing, if somebody made a $13 bill or a $21 bill, well, then you'd know that's a joke, right?
Amen. Amen.
But the deceivableness of it is a very good counterfeit. Well, that's what the Antichrist looks like. He actually is said to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. He looks like a Christian, but he's actually a devourer. And it shall come to pass, again, this is Ezekiel 38:18-19, the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord. Now this is the Lord talking. So you can see he talks better than you do, and
Amen.
I do, doesn't he?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So don't discount God as that he's stupid or some kind of a moron. If you believe that, then you're the worst kind of moron there is. Okay? That my fury, God's saying, will come up in my face for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. And I've got a lot of other, Zechariah, I'm going to do another one here. Chapter 7, verse 12 and 13. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. In other words, the Lord, the moral law and all the other laws that the Lord has. And the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord, a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I, the Lord, would not hear. And this it says right over here again, the Lord saith, the Lord of hosts. He says, I'm not going to hear you when you're going up to hell. You're going to not, why you listened not to me, didn't pay any attention to anything I said. And so I'm going to pour out my wrath on you and there won't be any remedy. There's no way that you're going to be able to escape my wrath once I'm after you. And this is God talking real plain. He said, when you start crying out to me then, he says, I'm going to laugh at you. And then I'm going to mock you. When you say, oh, God, please, he'll say, oh, God, please. That's mocking you. God made the mockingbird. Now he turns into the mockingbird. God can make himself into anything but the devil. But you're going to think that you ran into the devil himself when God comes down. He thinks that Satan is the only one that can mock. He's mocking the Lord and his people now, but wait till you hear from God. Now, he promises, and God can't lie. He said he's going to mock at you and laugh at you when you're going down into hell, and you're going to say, "Oh, God, please, praise God. Oh, God, please," he'll come back at you with, "Oh, please, God." And then there's no sound from him whatsoever. He just keeps spiraling down into the fiery pits and into the darkness of the nether world, where you stay in there screaming your head off and frightened, for eternity, and screaming and full of pain. And so, "Oh, you're just trying to scare us." Well, if the Word of God doesn't scare you, I don't know what else will. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of the Lord. And I know that my whole duty is to fear God and keep His commandments.
Yeah.
Now, how joyful is the soul when its yearnings are fulfilled? Oh, God's yearnings are fulfilled, and it's joyful to Him. He said, "I'll rejoice over you to destroy you." Clap his hands and laugh and mock at you. Smart alecks. Smart alecks. This is regarding the Lord Jesus Christ of 2 Thessalonians. Well, in the book of Revelation, it talks of this great wrath too. You might say, "Well, that was the Old Testament. You better read the book of Revelation." He talks about his great wrath there, amen, and that he's going to burn this planet up with everybody that doesn't listen to him. Amen?
Amen.
So this, though, is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Thessalonians. So remember, when the Lord first talked to me, he told me that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. Now, this is the number one doctrine in the New Testament, that Jesus is coming back to earth again. It's mentioned around 318 times in the New Testament. There's no other doctrine that is repeated that many times. And I didn't know that, and that's when the Lord came and visited me and said, "Get up on your feet and tell these people in the room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die." And I thought, yeah, I must be going crazy. But then, a little bit later, I have my testimony written, so you could have a copy if you like. A little bit later, when I was doubting so much, he started pulling the breath in and out of my body. And he says, "Now you know," and he came down with his full, it seemed like his full power, but he made me to know that he knows everything, every thought that you've ever thought, every time you've done something bad to yourself and to others, and every plan that you have in your wicked hearts. He knows all about it. He knew every grain of carpet, every grain of sand, and he has names for things like that. He's got names for everything and every little thing. Every bit of God's creation, such as sand, is very important to him. He's got each grain meticulously added up. You think that's crazy? That's because you don't know the mind of God. God knows everything, and he even can tell what you're going to say before you say it. Many times I was going to say something, the Lord checked me really strong and told me, "Don't say that." And then I would stop and I'd say, "What do you want me to say, Lord?" And then he tells me calmly what I'm supposed to say. And then I say it, and then he's pleased with me. But if I said things, if I lied about people like the people out in the world are lying about people, and they don't even know anything about us, or any of the people that they're lying about, I would fear for my life that I'd be dead if I did that. Okay, but anyway, this is regarding the book of, or the letter, whatever you want to call it. It's God, through the Apostle Paul, wrote a couple of letters to the Thessalonians. There's 1 Thessalonians and the 2nd letter to the Thessalonians. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned more times in the New Testament than any other doctrine. Actually, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned is 318 times in the New Testament. I'm saying that we know because of the fact that the New Testament is ongoing. So I know that the Lord told me that, so if we're still living in the New Testament days. So I know that I'm an apostle because those that have seen the Lord Jesus Christ and keep his commandments are considered to be an apostle. If you actually haven't seen him with your eyes, Paul saw him, but it's not mentioned that he's seen him as clear as I have. That's why I know when he talks just like a man, and some people don't take it to heart, because most people don't have any respect for mankind. They don't respect anything that anybody says anymore, and they've gotten to the point to where they don't even believe what God said, because they know that prophets said these things. But the word of the Lord was sent unto the prophets for them to tell the people in the world what's going on. Just like the Lord, without me knowing that he's coming back to earth again, told me that. I'm Jewish, and I never believed that God really existed. And I didn't like it when people were trying to tell me about the gospel. And so here he's telling me not only about Jesus, but that Jesus is coming back to earth again, and that I have to say it. And that was against my will. And so against my will, he started pulling the breath out of me, and I know how powerful God is, because nobody's ever done that to me in my life. And I had to tell the people in the room, and I didn't know the Bible, but I had to somehow muster up the words that were necessary for me. I felt if I didn't convince them that I would see them disintegrate and go to hell right through the floor, and that I would follow them. And so I tried the best I could, and I'm a real good person regarding making superstars or selling something out of the world. And so I tried to muster up some kind of a message, but without knowing the Bible, I didn't know what to say. I just kept saying, Jesus is telling me that, God is telling me that Jesus is coming back to earth again. And they looked at me just like some people in the church do, bored, because they've heard it so many times. 318 times in the New Testament, and yet they can't get it. They don't think it's happening. He gives directions through the Apostle Paul as to when we can expect him. Now, back then, in 2 Thessalonians, there was some false teachings going on. There were guys writing letters, just like they were me. They're writing different tracts and putting it on the internet saying that I wrote it. And that's what happened back in 2 Thessalonians. Somebody was writing letters, and they were signing it that they were the Apostle Paul, and people believed that the Lord was coming back to earth again right then. Right then, at that time, that's around almost 2,000 years ago. And Paul was cautioning them, saying, no, these are phonies, these are phony letters. Don't believe that. Don't be troubled. Okay, so this is the book of Acts that we're living in right now. And so I say, at least with me, the Lord said he's coming back. So I would say that 319 times in the New Testament, because the New Testament is going on. The book of Acts has never ended yet, because at the book of Acts, it doesn't say amen. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So we are part of the, we're the church. We're the body of Christ. If we are believing what the Lord says, if his words, we read them as though they're not just words of men, but that they're the words that the Lord speaks. And he's the one that taught me how to say what I'm saying. He's the one anointing me. I believe without any doubt. I mean, I read the word, and the things that he said would happen are happening. But the reason that it was so bad is people stopped going to work. They just gave up back then because they figured, well, it's all over, so we don't want to work anymore. So Paul said, man, how's the church going to survive if you people don't work? If you don't work, you don't eat. Amen?
Amen.
And so don't be believing that false doctrine of these letters that are coming from somebody that's saying that it's me that's writing them, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, because, so 318 times, or now it's more, it mentions of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's coming back to earth again. And this is the first thing, again, that the Lord told me. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again. God talked real plain to me, and he still does. Now, some people say, well, you know, Tony was talked to in 1956 or 66. It wasn't 66. It was 1964. Okay, I've been saved now going on 43 years. It's definitely 42 and a half years he said that. Somebody in the service the other day said, and I told him not to say that because they act as though this is the only time God talks to me. He talks to me every day.
Amen.
So, and that I'm doing a work for the Lord every day.
Amen.
And they act like that's all I did is got up in the, you know, that the Lord talked to me then. So he's coming back to earth again. So this is the time that he told me. I'm going to add that to the New Testament. That's 319 times that I know of.
Yeah.
That at least would, so it's 319. But it's 318 times is written in the New Testament that you can find for yourself. That's more than any other doctrine in the New Testament. This is the most... certainly the major concept in chapter 1 and 2 of the second epistle in Thessalonians. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. During the time of the Apostle Paul's first letter, the second, the seeds of false doctrine had been sown among the Thessalonians. This is false doctrine. These letters that were coming from somebody saying that the Lord's coming back right away or that he's already been here. Causing them to waver in their faith, the Apostle Paul removes these destructive seeds, these rotten doctrines, and again plants the seeds of truth into their hearts. He begins by... commending the believers on their faithfulness in the middle of, in the midst of while they're being persecuted. Because, you know, when persecution comes, there's a lot of people that don't, they show themselves to be what they are. They begin believing the false doctrines, and, but he's commending them because even though all these false doctrines are going around and all the persecution was happening, they stayed steadfast. They didn't fall away. So he was commending them for their faithfulness in the middle, in the midst of all this persecution. They were still faithful in the midst of persecution. You know, you don't see that very often today. And encouraging them that the present suffering will be repaid with future glory in the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, in the midst of persecution, expectation can be very high of the great rewards that will follow. So if you have the vision in your soul, in your mind, your spirit of the Lord coming back to earth, and if you have the vision of the kingdom of heaven, you can be very faithful and during persecution because of the expectation that you have of the great rewards that will be will follow, that will be given to you. Paul then deals with the central matter in his letter, a misunderstanding that was spawned by the false doctrine, false teaching regarding the coming of the day of the Lord. There were many reports to the contrary but the day has not yet come. And Paul recounts the events that must first take place, laboring for the gospel rather than being lazy. They became lazy because they stopped working, because they figured, well, it's, why work? Why knock yourself out? Well, the Lord tells you that you're to continue on to the end. Amen?
Amen.
So people that don't work, they become lazy and they start doing things that are bad in the church, and then the result of that is that the Lord stops blessing the church. Resignation is the proper response. So in the second letter of Paul, or the book of Thessalonians, to the Thessalonians, correspondence, this was entitled Thessalonian. Thessalonica, or the second to the Thessalonians, the second to the Thessalonians. The reason people were telling others that it was dangerous for these false doctrines to tell people about the Lord coming back to earth again in those days, the reason that it was so bad for them to say what they were saying is because people thought that they could quit their jobs. So that way they couldn't support the church. They couldn't give tithes unto the Lord. And so there's been a long time in this church where nobody worked on hard work. For years, no one has worked on outside jobs. So I see the same situation happening. And so people that are incapable or are older can go out and get jobs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they can give tithes to the Lord. So the second epistle to the Thessalonians is even stronger than the first letter to the Thessalonians internally. The vocabulary, the style, and the doctrinal content support claims in the first letter, chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 3, verse 7, that it was written by the Apostle Paul, all these letters. And this, the true letters are written by Paul. The time of the first Thessalonians was the background to the Thessalonian correspondence. This book or letter was written just a few months after 1 Thessalonians, while Paul was still in Corinth with Silas and Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1. Acts, the book of chapter 18, verse 5. And the bearer of the first epistle may have brought Paul an update on the new development prompting him to write this letter. Everyone quit their jobs. Well, we got reprimanded by the Antichrist, the world government, which was Rome, and we traced all of these false accusations to the doorstep or the gate of the Vatican. And then the news media and then the government started sending people around to different radio stations and television stations, don't put the Alamos on the air. They started accusing us of all sorts of things that were false. And they started saying, a bunch of the brothers and sisters, we had a large, very large congregation in Los Angeles at the time, because we hadn't gone worldwide yet, and a lot of them wanted to get married. They were young people. They said, let us go to work. Sue did not want them to work. And I was just a young Christian, like a babe in the woods. I didn't know what to tell them or what not to tell them. And she said she didn't want them to work because a lot of them were drug addicts, almost every one of them. And she thought that if they went out in the world to work, that they would get hooked on drugs again. But, you know, it's just as bad if you get lazy and you stop fearing the Lord and you're just laying around doing nothing, because the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Amen? That's what I'm saying. And that's what has happened to many of them when they're just laying around, is they start usurping authority, and they start using the church trucks to transport goods to themselves. They don't go to Sunday services. They go. They apply for food stamps when the church, when God is supporting them, and they go shopping on Sunday for hours without going to church. And we have church services every evening at 8 o'clock, ever since the church is open. And we have services twice on Sunday. Plus, we have the prayer line, and people call with questions to me, and I'm answering questions all day long and things like that. So there is, but they were saying that, so they said, we want to go to work so we can buy apartment houses and stuff. So finally, Sue, they said, we could go to work on the farm out in different farms out in Bakersfield, planting and reaping things. And they said it pays good money, and if you'd put it, take the money and buy those apartment houses down on the junction over here in Saugus New Hall Village area. And then we did. We bought the, we used all that money for them.
Amen.
Because Sue really couldn't eat any meat or anything. Her stomach was all messed up from that cancer. And I don't eat that much at all. I mean, I eat right from the kitchen nowadays, and I love it much better than anywhere else. But anyway, they were saying that we were running a slave labor camp, and we were taking the money and spending it on them. Now, you know, this is just anything to make the people out in the world not believe what we say, that we're in it for the money. And then Susie's daughter just got caught up. She was on. She went out and got on drugs, and so I had to turn her in, because if you don't turn a person in, they will put you in jail. So I said, Sue, we can't allow her to put you in jail. So I reported her, and they came and picked her up and put her in Sylmar Detention Home for Girls. She was wild. She did a lot of wrong things, and so you have to realize the things that preachers, teachers, prophets go through. Aaron's kids did the same thing. And Eli's kids were bad too. So just because they're children of dignitaries of the Lord doesn't mean that they're not going to do evil things, because they certainly do. Some of the kids are, the devil gets at you through your kids sometimes. And you have to be careful about that, but you have to be no respecter of persons. If your own kids do something wrong, you've got to discipline them. And so she, at that time, thanked me for putting her in there, Sylmar. My uncle was about ready to die, and so I put him in Camarillo because he was drinking so much. The doctor said if he took any more drinks that he would die. So I took him downtown, and we went to court. And he was I tried to save his life. And so they asked him, do you go to Camarillo as your nephew has recommended, or do you, he says, do you go willingly, or do you fight this? And so he looked at me. I was right there in the small courtroom. And he looked back at the judge, and he said, I go willingly, because he knows I'm not going to give up. And so he got so healthy when he was there, and his brother Clayton went and got him out. And he died about a week or two later. But he was doing so good. And he went right back on the bottle. So, you know, I mean, and so people will accuse you of being all sorts of things. But we know who the accuser is. The devil is the accuser of the saints.
Amen.
But we bought so many properties for these brothers and sisters. A lot of them got married, and they started having children. But anyway, right now, you know, I'm going to continue the message that I did here on 2 Thessalonians tomorrow, God willing. Yeah, but right now I've got a couple of testimonies here that I'd like to hear. Where's the first one from?
From Magazine, Arkansas. Greetings.
Okay, we've got time for about maybe one. Okay.
Greetings in Jesus' name. I thought I would let you know how great God is working here in Magazine, Arkansas. It started out just me down here after coming back 2 months ago. I started witnessing and distributing Pastor Tony's literature. Praise the Lord, we now have 5 in the group coming together 3 nights to listen to a message from Pastor Tony on CD, and 4 going out and witnessing. That's not counting the kids that come with now and then. Let's give God all the praise. But there are people who don't ever show up with Bibles, so could you send me about 8 of them and about 8 copies of your literature entitled Our Purpose and Purposes and 2 copies of the Messiah book?
Well, isn't that something? You know that there's one person now that multiplied 500%.
Amen.
That's incredible.
Amen.
Well, it's doing that all over the world, folks, and so, you know, support the work and be blessed by the Lord, because you'll get the same blessings we do. And if you're afraid to send money to us because you're afraid you're going to get persecuted, then you'll be persecuted with the persecutors, because the Bible says the fearful and unbelieving will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be afraid. And send it anonymously. We could use it, all right? And we'll use it for the Lord. Then what?
As you can see, I am not too good at writing, but I am a better talker. So I am waiting for that day when the Lord asks me about Pastor Tony and the brothers and sisters of the Alamo Ministries. It will take at least a year to tell how they have helped me. From a kid watching Tony and Susan on TV and on the radio, from the literature out there to read, to calling the phone with a sister always right there to pray and talk with me, no matter how long it took. That's not an easy thing to do when I get to talking. To even walking into your Fort Smith church, I was met by a brother who sat and talked and prayed with me and said any time I need to talk, to come over and walk in. And he made sure I did not leave without a Bible to show me how to talk to people today, to show them I love them and that God loves them, and how I know when I needed them, they were there. And not one time did anyone ask me for money. I praise the Lord. He gave me hope through Pastor Tony and the loving brothers and sisters of the Alamo Ministries.
Right. If I was interested in money, I'd sell the Beatles album. Pete Best gave me one of his Beatle albums because he was the rich Beatle, his mother was, and I would sell that. I've been told I could make get about $100 million for selling it as a Beatles collector's item. And I don't do that. I won't... I want to know that it's the Lord sending money, and it's not for me, it's for the ministry. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Then go ahead and finish off. We're out of time now.
Please keep us in your prayers. With all the love God has given me, I say thanks, your brother William.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, the thing to do is, if you want to get out of the rut that you're in, where there's no blessing at all on your life, you may think money is blessing until you get it. You know, sometimes people think that they're going to be blessed when they receive money, and then all of a sudden you get it and you realize that, you know, you're still agitated and irritated, and that you still have sickness, disease, infirmities, and you don't have anybody to protect you. Now, you know, I know that the Lord protects us. That's one of the gifts that we receive from the Commonwealth of being a Christian. So if you'd like to have all the things from the Commonwealth and have paradise and believe it and know it without a doubt and say this prayer, you'll be a Christian. I notice a lot of people, when they're praying people through on TV, they never mention the blood of Jesus. But you cannot be saved. Your sins must be first forgiven. And only the blood of Jesus can take your filthy sins away, your former filthy sins. So say this prayer to the Lord and mean it. Say unto the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all the former filthy sins that I've committed away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. All right, now just praise and your hands and praise and thank the Lord. And here's Sharon to tell you of four different ways that you can receive a copy of this CD or audio tape, which is program number 377. And it's absolutely free of charge, including the shipping and handling. So Sharon, tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, remember right now that we're in the battle of Armageddon. That's the battle between God and Satan for the souls of mankind. And here I am, and I can't remember if it's J.D. Sumner and the Stamps or the Jordanaires singing with me, The Battle of Armageddon.
There's a mighty battle coming, and it's well now on its way. It'll be fought at Armageddon, oh, it'll be a sad, sad day. In the book of Revelation, first in chapter 16, say, they'll be gathered their great armies for the battle on that day. All the way from the gates of Eden to the battle of Armageddon, there'll be trials and tribulations, there'll be sorrow and despair. But if there be not your trouble, all these things will come to pass, and your life will be eternal when you dwell with Him at last. Turn the pages of your Bible. Start with chapter 24, read from 1 to 33. In the Savior's blessed word, he spake on earth, he prophesied. And he spoke of that great battle, and it's coming by and by. All the way from the gates of Eden to the battle of Armageddon, there'll be trials and tribulations, there'll be sorrow and despair. But if it be not your trouble, one of these things must come to pass. Be eternal when you dwell with Him at last.